Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today, we're going to be talking to successful women business owners, entrepreneurs, but for you gentlemen who are listening, y'all have successful women in your lives. You might be raising them. You might be married to them. You might just know them from around the block. But this is good information for you too, so don't turn this off. So joining me today is Carrie Setchell. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing today?
Hey, Deb. I'm great. It's great to be here.
Perfect. Well, let me tell people just a little bit about you, and then we'll jump into this because this is going to be a fascinating discussion. And we met doing one of Mitch Levy's AHA programs. So got to give a shout out to Mitch. So Carrie Setchell is on a mission to help female breadwinners have fulfilling, authentic careers and thriving lives and families. After years of building her career as a partner at Deloitte, Carrie found her family broken by guilt, shame, resentment, and addiction. She and her husband, Todd, committed to creating the life and family that they want and are now stronger than they could have ever imagined. Carrie shows other female breadwinners how they can do the same. So again, Carrie, welcome.
It's great to be here, Deb. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm excited to spend this time with you and with the community here.
You know, this really is going to be a good discussion, but let's start by kind of going back in time. You know, you were at Deloitte, which, you know, that's probably pretty good money, you know, and it's a different world there, obviously. So how did you decide that you were going to leave and really make what you're doing now your passion in life?
Oh gosh. Okay. So that was, I'll rewind about, let's say 6 years.
Okay.
5.5 years, mm-hmm. 6 years. And, I was a partner. I had worked my entire career to get to where I was. I was successful. I had been a partner for about 6 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And, I had that moment of clarity. You know, many people have it at different points mm-hmm. in their lives where all of a sudden you sit still for a few minutes for mm-hmm. the first time in a really long time. And all these questions start coming. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? Right. What do I really want mm-hmm. from my life? How is my priority aligned with how I'm investing my time? Mm-hmm. And it was a startling realization because I didn't really like the answers I was coming mm-hmm. back with. Mm-hmm. I'm a classic overachiever. There's probably lots of people listening to this who can resonate with that. Mm-hmm. When you get into a culture in the corporate or consulting world, it sort of mm-hmm. just sweeps you away
right.
with the trajectory, the ladder. Mm-hmm. And I got swept into that and it just fed me mm-hmm. and fed me and fed me. And I had a great career. I'm so grateful for the time that I was mm-hmm. at Deloitte, for the people I got to work with, the experiences I got to have, but I was empty. I was just mm-hmm. bankrupt spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize at the time, but my family was in a really rough spot mm-hmm. as well. And I spent about 10 months in this weird place. And anybody who's listening may be able to relate to this place of knowing those answers and knowing that there's this time is coming.
Mm-hmm. Knowing, but you're scared to death.
Scared to death. Mm-hmm. Knowing that it is inevitable and grieving mm-hmm. because I had this vision of life when I was in college and law school of what mm-hmm. my life would be. Mm-hmm. And I got there. Mm-hmm. I was there. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I climbed that ladder and I was where I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed really unfair that I had to start over. Mm-hmm. I was angry. I was mad at God. I was just, I thought this makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I was near a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, I was at a client, and this was a client that I had had for years, a client that I love, just the nicest people, wonderful, wonderful company. And I was falling apart. I was sitting in this conference room and I just said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I called the person I was supposed to be meeting with and said, you know, I'm not feeling well. I need to leave and we need to reschedule. Mm-hmm. And I went home and I told my husband, I got 10 more months in me and that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's, though we have had our fair share of problems and issues, and that's very much about what my mission is focused on now, when in those moments that really mattered, we were there for each other. And I'll never forget Todd looking at me and saying, you know, Carrie, you've been so successful doing something that you aren't entirely passionate about for so long. Imagine how successful you're going to be when you're doing something that you love and you feel deeply connected to. And it was like this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, because when I was real honest with myself, I derived much of my value from the prestige, the title, the money. And I, deep down inside, I worried, is my husband going to love me as much when I don't have all that? And the fact that he was still there and he was still going to be part of my life and love me and care for me as just me was one of the most healing, amazing moments of my life. And it gave me the courage to then face the next chapter, which was actually leaving and then going out on my own.
Right. You know, and it is difficult when you're the breadwinner, because, you know, it's, and, you know, same thing for men. I mean, especially if you're wanting to make such a major drastic change, you know, and you mentioned the fact that, you know, who you were was really part of the titles and all of those things. And it's funny because, you know, it's definitely that way, I think, for a lot of men. So then we forget that it's that way for women too. You know, and it's funny because we have this big push in society, especially in American society, that we need more women executives. And this is a good thing. You know, but you know, we're pushing a lot of women, whether, you know, they're starting out as young girls or, you know, all these various things, and we're pushing them hard to achieve a lot. And again, this is a very good thing, but then are they getting caught up in that, I am that position, I am that title, I've lost who I am?
You know, Deb, that is an awesome point. And it is such a piece of the work, the mission, the realizations that we've had as we've studied ourselves and then all the women that we've interviewed as part of our work. We have a challenge right now. Women have done so well coming up and becoming part of the ranks and being successful. But the challenge is we expect women, in many cases, to be men to do that. And it creates this really, really difficult scenario, because women, in many cases, are pretending to be men. And I truly believe where we need to focus our energy is not on getting women to be men and just getting enough seats at the table of this this structure of the men's table, but what does the table really need to look like? Is it a little different? So women can come to that table bringing their full selves. And I believe that our organizations, our academic institutions, our government will be so much more powerful.
Right.
because of that.
We need that combination.
Absolutely.
Of shall we say masculine and feminine.
Yes. Yes. And in many cases, one of the things I found, and I talk about this, as I was on the last 10 months. So when I made the decision and mm-hmm. Todd and I said, yes, it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And I had 10 months and I needed to give a lot of notice because mm-hmm. of the practice that I was managing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to leave in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of, that was a really interesting soul searching mm-hmm. time during that period. And I recognized that there were two things that were really missing in my life. And they were love and truth. Mm. And I had this deep need to come at everything from a place of love and truth. And I'll never forget thinking, that just sounds so darn ridiculous. Love and business? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, well, what the heck? I'm going to leave in 10 months anyways. So I'm going to bring love to my practice, to my relationships with my clients. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because the relationships I built with my clients in those 10 months when I was completely focused at coming at everything I did from a place of love mm-hmm. was like the results I had were amazing. Mm-hmm. The relationships, one of my clients, I became a client after I left Deloitte. Another one of my clients, I'll never forget one of my partners who I was handing the client over to, leaving the client with me, and he said, I don't know if I want this client. And I said, why? They're like one of the mm-hmm. best clients you could have. He said, because they love you.
I can't stand up to that.
And he said, and you love them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and I was like, wow, the experiment worked. Mm-hmm. And it's some of the things I think we as women think just seem so utterly ridiculous, but mm-hmm. we feel so driven to bring to business mm-hmm. are actually our most powerful right. attributes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I've interviewed several guests recently about leadership and being a good leader. And we've talked about the shift that has happened from being the authoritarian, you will do it this way, or yes. it's the highway. You know, you must work 12 hours a day. I mean, that whole thing. And, you know, I'm putting this in my little air quotes. We blame the millennials. Yeah. But, you know, things have gotten, and I don't want to say softer, because that's not really the right term, but we're bringing in aspects that maybe it is the more feminine type of aspects where mm-hmm. the communication is very important. Right. You know, teamwork, empowerment. All those words that 5 years ago, maybe even a couple of years ago, business leaders would have gone, gah, at. You know, you can't do that and be a good leader. And of course, what we're discovering is you can. And this whole pandemic thing just really is shaking things up. Because when you can't see your employees every day, except maybe by Zoom, then you really have to be a different type of leader. You know, if you're the micromanager who's going to look over people's yes. shoulders, you can't, you know,
no.
and so we're having to be much more trusting, much more empowering of people yeah. to say, you know what, you used to do this at 10 a.m. in the morning, but you found it works at 10 p.m. and you're getting your job done. Sure. Works for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We are learning so much, and not that I would ever wish a pandemic on any right. of us, because mm-hmm. it's not an ideal scenario, but having a situation that forces change mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. was being really resisted mm-hmm. is a silver lining.
Right.
And it's going to shift us far more quickly mm-hmm. into a shift that we really need to make.
Right. Right. You know, I think one of the things that has definitely happened is that we kind of brought family back in to a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know, and people having to work their schedules around, you know, their kids are home right now. So they're having to work around having to teach them, you know, all these various things. And I just saw, and I only read the headline, so I didn't, you know, didn't have the opportunity to read the whole thing, but a woman in the last couple of days recently lost her job because in Zoom conferences with just her coworkers, no clients or anything like that, her children were in the room and her male boss did not think that was appropriate. Now, of course, she has filed a lawsuit, and you know, and I'm, you know, that's probably one of those she's going to win. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, it's, this is not a bad thing that we're having to do this, but it's also a huge challenge, you know, to, especially for people who are having to teach their children and be the teachers and work, and you know, and then if you know, you're in charge of you know, managing employees and things like that. I mean, this really is a challenging time, but the cool thing is it seems like it's working. You know, once we figured it out, I mean, the tricky thing was that it was, you're not coming in tomorrow. You know, and so many people were just not equipped. Right. You know, I talked to somebody who said, I don't have a chair. I don't have an office chair. You know, a lot of people didn't have the right technology,
right,
all of those various things. So once we kind of, you know, that's the one thing that having this drag on for months has helped, is we got through a lot of those things. I think we really are finding that it's going to be a different type of organization that comes out of this for many companies 6 months, 12 months down the road.
Oh, absolutely. And it's causing us to, I believe, both businesses and people personally, mm-hmm, to get really focused and intentional about, mm-hmm, priorities.
Right.
And to recognize areas of life or business that really weren't operating, mm-hmm, at an optimal level. Right. We don't have as much extra time. Mm-hmm. It seems like we have all kinds of extra time. There's right. No commute. There's,
we're not commuting.
Not going out to lunch with people. But then the family aspect for anybody that has children, from little children, which presents a significant, mm-hmm, challenge, to even college age kids.
Right. I have all of a sudden had to come home.
Oh, yeah. But some of my friends that have kids who are in their early 20s, mm-hmm, that is almost as difficult, mm-hmm, as people that have, you know, little preschoolers at home. Mm-hmm. Just because those older, young adults, it's just such a pivotal time for them, right, personally, to be cooped up at home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With mom and dad.
And then we toss in the fact that there are people, you know, my age, who for a variety of reasons, their parents are now coming back with them.
Yes.
You know, and so you might, you know, I keep thinking it's kind of like a big old Italian family. You've got grandma, you've got everybody there. You might even have yet an aunt or an uncle or, you know, all those things. And we've crammed them all in a house and said, you can't go outside.
It's kind of funny when you think about it.
You know, but again, it seems to be working. I mean, you know, granted, yeah, there are, and you know, there are some bad situations. You know, we don't want to joke about that. But for right. many people, it really is working, where they're figuring out, okay, this, you know, and especially because we don't know what, you know, as we're recording this, it is July. Many school districts throughout the United States and throughout the world really don't know what's going to happen, mm-hmm, with school next year, you know, at least for the next semester. You know, so many parents, no matter what, are opting to have their kids home. And then what's going to happen if they have to go back into an office? That's where I think the big changes are going to come. They're going to say, you know what? I did my job just fine sitting in my guest bedroom. That's where I want to stay. And I think a lot of companies are going to go, you're right.
Well, and, you know, and companies, when they start looking at this on a purely macro dollars and cents level, mm-hmm, I wouldn't want to own commercial real estate right now,
because
a lot of companies are probably saying,
do we need that building?
How
do we need to
money?
Rent?
Mm-hmm. We could probably get by with one space where we could have, you know, because there are reasons for in-person meetings in certain, mm-hmm, professions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than this, you know, these very needed in-person, mm-hmm, meetings, what could we invest that, mm-hmm, capital in, mm-hmm, in our products, mm-hmm, our people, our services, the community that we're building, mm-hmm, around what we offer?
Right.
it would be far more beneficial. So it just so many far reaching implications.
Right. Yeah. And the funny thing, and this is purely anecdotal, is I think women are in a better position to manage a lot of this because we're used to having to do that.
Oh, well, you know, it's so interesting. I was just listening a couple weekends ago on our, and I know Deb, you know this, but my family and I just moved to Colorado and we drove out here.
I know, I'm so jealous.
It's marvelous. But was on our drive out here, we had two cars. And so my husband and I were each driving a car, and I was listening to some different audiobooks, and I was listening to, I think it's Alison Armstrong. She does a lot of work on the masculine and feminine. And it was really valuable for me to listen to this because it reminded me that men are often very singular focused, which can be great.
Right. That's why some of these companies have been just phenomenally successful.
Because you get singularly focused on one goal and you just drive to that goal. Women are, I can't remember the term that she uses, but it's like it's diffused or something like our focus is on so many different things. Right. And which is also very beneficial sometimes because, you know, you've got something on the stove, you've got a kid doing something, you got a conference call going, you're creating some kind of creative project, and women are able to operate in that. Although I think we do get a little bit too
a little too scattered.
Exactly. I there is something to be said for focus, but that difference between women and men, was something that but the way she explained it was amazing. And I thought, wow, this just explains so much, and it helped me appreciate both women and men and what we can bring to the table. And how, gosh, if we can create structures and systems where we can bring the good of both of those and honor them, gosh, we're powerful.
Right. Yeah. You know, and we've talked about the fact that women feel like we have to be something different when we're the boss, you know, and very much like a man. I mean, you know, just look at how many times we dress, you know, wear a suit, all those various things. And so what's getting lost is our authenticity. And, you know, and so, you know, that is kind of one of the buzzwords that is, you know, like we're transparent and we're authentic and, but it is true. I mean, so why is being authentic while being the person in charge, the breadwinner, why is that so difficult?
Yeah. And this is a question that I have dedicated so much time to exploring, both selfishly, personally. I wanted to understand this because I felt so unauthentic. And how did I find what authentic was? Right. And how did I bring that to my life? And, you know, I've found that there are two reasons why authenticity is just so darn hard. And it's in particular, so hard for women who have been achievers and who have been in, you know, I don't care if it's in business and government, in academia, wherever it is, but they've climbed.
The head of PTA, whatever.
Whatever. They've climbed. And there's, you know, two reasons why authenticity, and men will gain a lot from this too. Number one is our need as humans for attachment. You know, we feel this need, and we felt this ever since we were in the womb. When a baby is born, they want to attach to the mom. It is the human need for connection is such an instinctual drive. And so we find a tribe or a group or a place where we belong. And it could be a lot of this starts when we're kids, and it's the, you know, the family says, these are the things that are important. My family being, you know, a powerful woman in business is important. You know, that's important. And so you start to like look around and say, well, what does that mean? And become that. And you want to belong, you right. want that connection, you mm-hmm. want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big challenges to authenticity. Mm-hmm. And in that, we lose touch with who we are mm-hmm. because we're just told constantly right. who we are. Mm-hmm. The other is, this is a really important point, and this comes from some awesome, amazing, groundbreaking work from Dr. Valerie Rain, who's doing work on patriarchy stress disorder, which is fascinating. Mm. It's trauma. And so I want anybody who's listening to this, you might be like, okay, well, I'm a corporate woman and I've never been abused or raped. I've never gone to war. How the heck can I have trauma? Mm-hmm. The reality is that those are like what people often refer to as like big T traumas. Those are like the big kahunas. Right. Mm-hmm. You can pinpoint that trauma to a mm-hmm. specific event mm-hmm. or collection of events. Mm-hmm. But when you go into a workplace or an organization or a community every single day, and you are conditioned to learn that it is unsafe to be who you are. Mm-hmm. Over time, it's trauma.
Right.
It develops a traumatic response, mm-hmm. which then in our biology is the whole fight, flight, freeze mm-hmm. response. So you go to work and you decide, you know, today I'm going to really be authentic. If mm-hmm. you even figure out what that is. And I completely lost touch with what that mm-hmm. was.
Yeah. Who am I? Mm-hmm.
A long time. Mm-hmm. But you go to work and you say, well, I'm going to be who I am. And then you remember the time when you were told exactly what to say in a meeting mm-hmm. and don't right. go off script. Mm-hmm. The time when you said something a little off color and you were chastised for mm-hmm. it, the time when you got a bad review mm-hmm. and you start remembering all the other times you were mm-hmm. rewarded for being somebody that you're not. Mm-hmm. And it's scary as can be.
Right.
It's terrifying mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to break out of that. Mm-hmm. So if you can, number one, even figure out who you are, mm-hmm. then the next challenge is breaking away from that, you know, rocking the boat mm-hmm. and breaking out of that fight, flight, freeze, mm-hmm. Just biological mm-hmm. response that says, this is like this is dangerous. Don't right. do that. Mm-hmm. And those are for women and for men, because there's a lot of men out there who mm-hmm. don't feel like they can be themselves
right.
in the systems that we're in. Those are, when it boils down to it, those are the things that are stopping you from your authenticity. Mm-hmm. But the good news is, you can break free from right. those. Mm-hmm. You can work with them. You can understand them. And just understanding this knowledge that Deb and I are talking about today is going to help you immensely to start saying, oh, mm-hmm. that awareness.
Right.
Gosh, that's like takes you like a huge number of steps mm-hmm. on this journey to authenticity and freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I think one of the biggest things that we're chastised about, maybe at work, is family. You know, mm-hmm. we're not supposed to talk about our family. You know, men don't do that. I've been told, you know, when I was in corporations and nonprofits, not to have photos of my family. Now, I don't have kids, and so that, you know, that eliminated a lot. But I remember mm-hmm. one time I was working for a big nonprofit, and anybody can look on my LinkedIn profile and see who it is. But my father-in-law was very, very ill. In fact, he ended up passing away. And people would come in to my office or see me in the hall and say, how's he doing? Now, it's a nonprofit. So, and this is 25 years ago, most of the employees, except for the CEO, were women. Mm. And our accountant. I mean, I think those might have been the only two guys in the whole building. But you know, how is he doing? How are you doing? All these various things. Well, then one of the women who wore her suit, who wanted to be the man, all of those things, pulled me into her office and said, I had to stop that. I was to not talk about my father. And I mean, she had me to the point of tears, both in, oh my gosh, I was so upset. And I was pissed. I mean, I was just like, and I looked at her and I said, okay, I don't instigate those conversations. You know, it's not like I'm going up and down the hall saying, oh, woe is me. This is horrible and awful. I said, I'm responding to people. So what do you want me to do? Say, I'm sorry, I can't talk about it. And she said, yes. And I said, no. You know, I said, now I can cut the conversations as short as possible, but I'm not going to be rude to people, you know, but to her, that was a definite sign of weakness, was to, you know, and it was like, really? No, you know, this is, and it really was, I mean, you know, clearly it stuck with me because this was over 25 years ago. And I still remember, especially the anger of being told, you can't feel like that. And right then and there, I thought, I didn't do it. I didn't say it because I knew it'd cost me my job, but I really wanted to look at her and say, bite me. but you know, that is kind of, it's the emotional thing. We're not supposed to be emotional at work. And that's hard for women, you know, because we do, like, we get mad, we get whatever. And sometimes the tears come. But we're told don't talk about your family. And so, you know, for many people, men and women, their family really is the most important thing to them. And to be told you can't talk about them, that's one of the biggest things about being authentic in your life.
Absolutely. And it's a huge miss mm-hmm. by organizations because right. when people are thriving in their personal lives and their families are a great mm-hmm. source of joy, they will be able to bring far more productivity mm-hmm. to the workplace. I mean, there are oodles of statistics out mm-hmm. there of what happens to a person's productivity mm-hmm. when they go through something like a divorce. Mm-hmm. And the productivity plummets right. for years mm-hmm. going through the event and then grieving from the mm-hmm. event. Our families are critically important to us, and they are critically important not only to us as individuals, but to us as a humanity. Mm-hmm. We have had a crisis of family mm-hmm. over a number of years where family just became this disregarded thing. And so many people had experiences like you described, Deb, by people who maybe that's what they were taught. Maybe they mm-hmm. had so much pain and anger inside. Right. They prioritized work over their family mm-hmm. and their family fell apart.
Right.
Or they always wanted to express how they felt about their family and they were told they weren't allowed to. Mm-hmm. And so instead of fighting against that, they perpetuated it. And we are now starting to have more and more people say, I want my family to be a source of joy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want my family to stick together. Mm-hmm. We have such an immense opportunity with our families mm-hmm. in and our lives right now. And, mm-hmm. and even in this moment in time, mm-hmm. because of the pandemic we've been a part of, so many people have spent so much more time with their families.
Right.
And some
getting to know them.
Yes. Some of that time's been good. Some of it's been really awful hard mm-hmm. because right. you start to realize, I mean, I remember, you know, I think it's been such a journey for me leaving Deloitte and then the family journey. But 4 years ago when I actually left Deloitte, when I mm-hmm. walked out of that door, it was just mm-hmm. over 4 years ago. And I'll never forget thinking, well, this is great. I'm leaving Deloitte. Now I'm going to have all this time with my family mm-hmm. and we're just going to skip off into the sunset. It's going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that because I traveled every week for mm-hmm. 2 years. My family was a mess.
Right. And they had routines without you.
Without me. I was like a stranger. I didn't mm-hmm. know what my son did. Mm-hmm. I remember my husband, I'll never forget, he and I had this conversation and I said, Todd, what makes you happy? And he looked at me and he said, I can't remember the last time I was happy. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about a kick in the gut. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have had that kick in the gut. Mm-hmm. And if there's anybody who's listening to this that has had that kick in the gut, or maybe it hasn't been that bad, but you know, this isn't, mm-hmm. you know, I just, you know, you people that describe it, I think things are pretty good. If you're saying, I think things are pretty good, mm-hmm. they probably right. aren't. Mm-hmm. And you know that in your heart. Mm-hmm. We have the most amazing family and relationship now, 4 years later. I can't even describe it. I never knew life could be this good. I mm-hmm. never knew a family could be this close. Mm-hmm. I never knew that we could create something that is just us the way we want to create it. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be somebody else's, you know, formula for what a family mm-hmm. is. Right. We can create who we are. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. And after being on this journey, I just, for anybody out there, you can create your own family model. Mm-hmm. You can do it your way.
Right.
And you can go from a place of being pretty low, mm-hmm. pretty deep valley, to a place of being just better than you can even mm-hmm. imagine.
Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, sometimes it means the family unit has to totally change.
It does.
You know, but one of the things that I love seeing is, you know, so here in our little area of suburban Atlanta, we have a big walking trail behind us. I love seeing the families that are walking on it. Now, and you know, a big part of it is you can tell they're like, must get out of house, must get out of house, must get out of house. Yeah. But, you know, these are people that 4 months ago were not on the trail. Yeah. And, you know, and then they actually shut the trail down. Ooh, that was really bad. Yeah. I called the county. I'm like, you can't do this. Where am I supposed to walk my dog? But, you know, it was, but, you know, we're still seeing those families walking. And it's funny because, you know, everybody kind of has their routines. You can tell that we're eating dinner and going for a walk with our dogs. They're eating dinner and going for a walk with their kids. And so we see the same people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, each day we're getting a little bit more, hi there, how are you? Good to see you today. You know, those type of things. Now, you know, you're not supposed to stop and talk to people. Now, I do wear my mask even when I'm on the trail, but, you know, and we may never speak, but seeing how those families have kind of come together, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I'm going to be so fascinated with is do they stay like that? Now, granted, things will shift a bit, especially as kids are able to do things like sports and band and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how much of this family togetherness will stay?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And one of the things that that I find one of the biggest mistakes people make with family is and work. And I see this with people who are like super achievement focused mm-hmm. is you think that to be a good mom or a good dad, mm-hmm. you have to do everything. You know, you've right. got to be at the bake sale and you've mm-hmm. got to be at the field trip and you've mm-hmm. got to go into the class. You've got to do all these things. The reality is a lot of that stuff doesn't matter at all.
Right.
It's the relationship mm-hmm. with your kids. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can even, if you don't have kids and it's relationship with your mm-hmm. partner.
Right.
You know, it's not mm-hmm. being at all the events
right.
together. Oh, yeah. It's being mm-hmm. together. Yeah. It's that relationship that is really, really the most important thing. You can chuck the bake sale and everything mm-hmm. else. Just throw it out the door mm-hmm. because your kids want you. Mm-hmm. It just like your partner wants right. you. It's right. it's that connection, that relationship. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a lot of time, it's not racking up all these mm-hmm. things that people say, oh, well, she or he is a, you know, a good mom or a good mm-hmm. dad or a good wife or a good mm-hmm. husband or a good partner or whatever. It's what the two of you or three of you or your family unit. Mm-hmm. It's that relationship you have together. Right. And I believe that this situation has forced that because mm-hmm. all the sports got canceled. All right. the bands got canceled.
I know.
All the what clubs are you gonna
do? Oh my
canceled.
Gosh, we have to talk to each other?
Yeah. and you start to realize like how much of that stuff do we need? And mm-hmm. I think that competitive sports are awesome. I think mm-hmm. intramural sports are awesome. I think band and choir and mm-hmm. theater and clubs are awesome. Right. But you know what? They got, I think we could all say that, man, they got a little out of hand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm like people whose kids were gone every single night, every weekend. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Things, they got a little out of balance. Mm-hmm.
And it was easier in a lot of cases, you know, and I'm not saying that as a negative for the parents, because, you know, I don't have kids and I can't even imagine, you know, but yeah, it's, you know, especially somebody, so maybe they are working a lot. Well, if, you know, kid goes from school to band to basketball to whatever, school to band to whatever, to basketball, comes home, you know, that's less time that they have to worry about, you know, and they can be working, you know, and that is one of the hard things, is trying to figure that out. I think, you know, some of the one of the worst terms that somebody ever came up with was work-life balance.
Oh,
there's no balance. That, if anything, it's a teeter-totter that goes boogity, 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 and pretty soon it flings you off, right? You know, and because, yeah, it's maybe a quasi-peaceful coexistence.
I say harmony because, mm-hmm. you know, the thing with balance is, and I always tell people this, like, I was horrible at the balance game when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's the same type of thing. You know, mm-hmm. balance is like this, like, oh my gosh, if you, like, one thing goes wrong, it's yeah. all out of balance. And mm-hmm. it's like, things are going to go wrong every day. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know, things are going to turn out differently mm-hmm. than you thought every single day. It's about harmony. Mm-hmm. It's about working together. And it was easier. Busyness is easy. Mm-hmm. Busyness is a very convenient excuse
right.
to avoid the mm-hmm. hard stuff. Mm-hmm. And the hard stuff is sitting down and looking at somebody and saying, where are we really at?
Mm-hmm. Right. Or really even, how is your day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How is your day? Mm-hmm. What do you really want out of mm-hmm. life? Mm-hmm. What do we want to be as a family? Right. I often ask people, I ask women all the time when I talk to them, how would you describe your family? Mm-hmm. I've never had anybody say my family's awesome.
Oh,
it's usually this kind of like blank stare or just silence. Like,
and then do you get descriptions?
Nobody's ever asked me that question. Yeah. And usually then it comes with, well, I think we're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Or my husband and I have date nights, or we do some fun things together.
Mm-hmm. We like movies.
Yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we have such opportunity, mm-hmm. such amazing opportunity. And that's, you know, I've done this work with female breadwinners, and I interviewed over 100 women, and I had interviews with many of them. And I'm just about done with, ready to publish a piece about my findings. Mm. And I outlined the 10 biggest challenges that I find, and also something that a woman can do, and I think men can actually get something out of this too, but it's focused on female breadwinners. But mm-hmm. what can you do to start moving past this challenge mm-hmm. right now? Little things, because right. those little things, a lot of times mm-hmm. they move mm-hmm. rocks, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I want people to understand is we have immense opportunity here. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of challenges. And for female breadwinners out there, if you think you're alone in the challenges you have, you are not. I thought I was alone. I thought we mm-hmm. were weird. Mm-hmm. I felt isolated. Mm-hmm. And you're not alone. The challenges are so similar. Mm-hmm. It's kind of unbelievable how many conversations I've had, and I like almost the exact same words come out mm-hmm. of a person's mouth from the questions that I ask. The challenges are so similar, and the opportunity mm-hmm. when we get past those challenges, the opportunity mm-hmm. is immense.
Right. So when you work with women, you help them find that authenticity, that authentic ambition. Walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the things that I find is that we lose touch with who we are. So mm-hmm. one of the first, and it's really difficult to fix the family and everything in your life when you don't even really know who the heck you are.
Right. Are you my kid?
Yeah. And so it's who, what is really driving me? What's mm-hmm. important to me?
Right.
And there's a discovery period of just rediscovering what is important to me. What are the things that I totally forgot about that I love mm-hmm. that aren't even part of my life right now?
Right.
And it's this discovery period. And then it's how do I incorporate this into my work and into my mm-hmm. life? And I say it's lead, live, and love authentically. Mm-hmm. And there's four areas of our life, you know, and these aren't some weird, you know, unbelievable thing. Everybody listening, you probably thought about this before. There's business and money, mm-hmm. your spiritual well-being, your body, mm-hmm. and then how you connect. And so how you connect in your relationships, how you connect with the world, how you connect with fun and excitement. When you can start to understand what you really want and who you are in those areas, mm-hmm. and then you can interject those into how you lead, how you live, and how you love, mm-hmm. you have a really amazing guidepost for your life. Mm-hmm. And you can start to say, you know, what's really important to me? I know what's important to mm-hmm. me. So why am I doing this thing?
Right.
That has no import. It doesn't get mm-hmm. me to any of this mm-hmm. stuff.
Right.
I need to say no to that. Mm-hmm. I need to reprioritize mm-hmm. and get this right. And the opportunity in seeing a person discover and say, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. this is so important to me. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, how can I bring that to my life? How can I bring it to my work? How can I bring it to how I love in mm-hmm. the world? It's so empowering. Mm-hmm. And the abilities, the contribution that we can make in our work life and our personal lives when we know and mm-hmm. we know who we are, we know it's important, we're mm-hmm. committed, is immense. It's what we all can accomplish is so much greater mm-hmm. than our minds allow us to believe.
Right. Right. Well, and a big part of that is we listen to all those other voices.
Oh,
you know, and they happen for men and women, but you know, women were supposed to be home. We're supposed to be raising the kids, you know, the 2.5 kids or whatever. And, you know, I always wondered, I'm like, that poor 0.5 kid, how do you do that?
Yeah, really.
And so, you know, they, women who want to do that, you know, might be looked down on, especially if they're in corporate America and they're wanting to leave corporate America to have their family or to focus yes. on their family. They're like, really? That's no. And when a woman makes those higher level positions, we put a lot of expectations on her. You can't go off and do those things. You, right. You're the CEO of this big company. What do you mean? You're letting us all down. And then of course we have women who look at it and go, I want to be the corporate leader, you know, and that's perfectly fine too. There are times where forcing them into the stereotype of being the stay-at-home mom and all of those things, that's just not going to work for them either. It's ignoring those other voices, which started when we're like, what, two? When you're handed a doll and, you know, all these various things and, you know, they go all the way through. I mean, I remember being told, now, you don't need to study math. Girls don't need math. And I was amazingly good at math. Somewhere that's gone away. I'm not sure what happened to that, but what kind of one of those skills you don't lose or you, right. you don't use, you lose. Right. But, you know, all these various things. And of course, my generation was definitely told to go to, if you went to college, you can, and now I'm at the very last year or so of being a baby boomer. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you went to be a nurse or a teacher. Now my generation was a little bit different, but you were also going to get your MRS degree.
Oh, yes.
You were going, you know, and it was okay for you to go back to work once the kids were in school. And for some people, I mean, that really was great. That was exactly what they wanted. But for others, it's like, no, you know, I wanted to be a lawyer. And, you know, people looked at me like, oh, my God. And then they went, oh, yeah, you do like to argue. you know, and luckily I talked myself out of that particular thing. But yeah, I mean, society's expectations are, and maybe that's where it's good that we kind of have this pandemic thing now, because we have a break from that. You know, and we're not going to those business meetings. We're not seeing those people, and we are focusing more on ourselves, hopefully.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I believe it's an amazing period of reflection mm-hmm. for so many of us. I know for my family, the pandemic has been a really, a very different experience, because we had decided to sell our house and move from Ohio to Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's just something that my husband's son and I felt was just part of the vision mm-hmm. of who we are mm-hmm. and what we wanted in our life. And we put our house on the market on March 18th.
Oh no.
And it sold in 5 days, which was an absolute mm-hmm. shock to us. Mm-hmm. I tell people it's like one of those really ripe intentions that mm-hmm. that God was saying, or the universe, or whatever.
You're doing this.
Whatever you believe, yes, said, well, this is ripe. Finally, mm-hmm. you got off your duff mm-hmm. and decided mm-hmm. to do something about right. this. Well, we're just going to line this right up for you. And so we moved out of our house in a month. The people who bought the house really needed to get in. And we moved to Colorado, and we're trying out some different places. Mm-hmm. And it's been, for us, an amazing period mm-hmm. of growth, expansion, reflection. We've learned so much. We mm-hmm. continue every day to learn more and to deepen mm-hmm. our relationship. And I find that there's so many people out there, and your shift may not have been as mm-hmm. big and as I won't say significant, but as
almost dramatic.
Obvious, mm-hmm. dramatic, yes, mm-hmm. as mine. But that shift to we're faced with mortality. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a health situation. Mm-hmm. We're with our families far more. Work is different. Expectations are different. It's caused so many of us to go into periods of reflection. Mm-hmm. And that is a wonderful thing. Even, mm-hmm. and I tell people this, and anybody who's listening who's in a period of reflection, and what you're reflecting back isn't what you want to see. Mm-hmm. You're feeling time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, your internet has decided it's going to be cranky with us. Here we are. We have just a couple minutes left and your internet's cranky.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry.
You're back. Okay, so we're reflecting. There we go.
Yeah, sorry about that. But the reflection, and if you're in a period and mm-hmm. the reflection you're getting back isn't great, and you're mm-hmm. feeling guilt, shame, resentment, any of those types of emotions, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that you're bad.
Right.
There's something wrong with mm-hmm. you, or that you have no hope. The fact that you're actually allowing yourself to feel those mm-hmm. emotions has put you far, far right. further mm-hmm. on the journey mm-hmm. than you were before. So I can just say, honor that. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself and know that you're human, and mm-hmm. you only have today and what you have, you know, what right. you're able to have next. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened before, mm-hmm. all you can do is learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Make today mm-hmm. and create that future that you really want.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
And you can, mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah. You know, if you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I miss the office. I need to be in the office. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, or if it's like, oh, you know, I have been able to spend so much time with my family, we need to do whatever we have to make sure that continues, you know, or friends or all these various things. And it's also, you know, kind of some of the other too. I mean, there are people where, and I've gone through this because I've had health issues that were, you know, major enough that it was kind of the whole life shifting type of thing where I thought, I don't need or want to be around some of those people and some of those situations. And, you know, people will say, oh my gosh, this is going on in the world. And I'm like, and it's not that I don't care, but I'm not going to let it upset me. You know, I keep track of what's going on. I know what's happening, but I'm not going to suck it in and, or get sucked in by it. And because for me, it's like, it really doesn't, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it kind of doesn't matter.
Right. Well, in it, when you start to allow yourself to really say, no, that doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not bothered by that, or I don't need to be part of that. And you start to allow yourself to honor what you really desire in your life. Right. It's like this whole new world is opened up. It's glorious.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard sometimes to.
Oh, and we get guilted, right?
Oh,
what do you mean you don't care about the upcoming election?
Oh, yeah. We get guilted.
Mm-hmm.
But as you move, and it's a journey, it doesn't all happen in some big bang, and all of a sudden you go from where you are to being authentic and free and not caring about anybody.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Just
flip that switch.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an entire life journey. Mm-hmm. I find things now. I peel back and I'm like, wow.
Right. Oh yeah, and things definitely change. I mean, right? Who knew we'd have a pandemic?
Yeah.
Those ancient Mesopotamians or whoever, but you know.
Yeah. It's, wow. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. It's a journey. And for anybody out there, just take small steps.
Mm-hmm.
You expecting too much of yourself is not going to set you up for getting to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You need to give yourself time to settle into new normals and settle into changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you create.
Mm-hmm.
And it's humbling sometimes because it takes longer than you might want.
Right.
If you can just honor every day and celebrate that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And change is painful. You know, it's
for sure.
Yeah. You know, but you know, we have to continually be going through this. You know, and I think that's what makes it fun too.
Absolutely. Oh, you know, life could get so boring.
I know.
How fun would that be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell people, you know, I've decided next, aliens or Godzilla. You know, I'm just predicting aliens or Godzilla. And it's kind of 50-50 as to, you know.
It's funny, you know, you watch some of these superhero movies or some of these movies that are about science fiction, and then you start looking at what's going on now, and you're like, we really that far off?
Wow, yeah. Hmm. Eek. Well, oh my gosh, Carrie, we have just a couple minutes left. So tell people, now I know one of the things that you do is public speaking, which right now has been a little curtailed because we're not doing things like that, but tell us what else you do.
Yeah, so for one, I do a free training every month. So that would be a really great way. If anybody's listening to this and says, Carrie, I'd love to hear you again. I do a free online training every month.
That's wonderful.
On Zoom. It's super casual. It's new content every time. It's not a pitch fest, but it's a way for us to start to develop a relationship together.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to start to understand what I'm all about, for me to find out what's challenging you the most. And that can then help us understand, you know, would we like to be in a coaching relationship or, as I pivot and I'm expanding my business model, becoming part of my community, becoming part of a community of people who are really committed to finding and honoring their authenticity as they lead, live, and love. And it creates that community of attachment, you know, like we talked about, You need people that you can resonate with in the journey that you're on. And I'm finding it in my heart and with the people that I serve that, yeah, coaching with me is, it can be okay and can be really, really super powerful for certain people in certain periods of their life. But for a lot of other people, what you really need is you need that guidance and you need some coaching, but you also need community.
Right.
And it's not just the one-on-one relationship. It's a community of people who can support, cheer each other on and challenge each other. And so I'd love to have anybody who's listening to this. I'd love to have you come to one of the free trainings. I'd love to have you check it out and have us start developing a relationship.
Great. Well, how do they find out more information?
They find out more information. I'm very, very easy to find. So Carrie@carrieshetchel.com. I would love for you to email me. You can tell me if you want to be on my email list or not, but email me. Let me know if you'd like to be invited to the free training.
Perfect.
So that's number one. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. I have a YouTube channel. I post videos every week. It's, again, super easy. Carrie Setchel. Just all you have to remember is Carrie Setchel. Carrie@carrieshetchel.com and Carrie Setchel on all the social media. Let me know what you think. I also, if you're a female breadwinner out there and you're like, Carrie, I'd love to get my hands on the piece that you're going to put out there in a few weeks. I really need to understand this information and understand what you're finding. Also email me and I'll make sure that I put you on the list for that.
Great. I love it. I love it. Well, do you have any final words of wisdom for everyone?
So my final words of wisdom are give yourself grace. Stay in the hard conversations with yourself and with the people who you care about the most, and allow yourself to really discover what you want in your life and then take steps to get there. My life is so different than it was 4 years ago when I left Deloitte, so different than it was 5 or 6 years ago when I had that realization that I needed to change my life. At one point, all I wanted was to enjoy Sunday with my family and not have a headache. That's all I wanted. That is all I wanted out of life. And I'm in such a different place now. And for you, wherever you are at, just find your desire right now and move towards it, and you'll just continue to expand and expand and expand. And your life is—it's limitless.
I love it. I love it. Well, I've been having just the best time talking with Carrie Setchel. I'm Deb Creer, and until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.